This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Funfi. Asian equities edged lower following Fed Chair Jerome Powell's testimony on Wednesday, where he left open the possibility of more than 3 rate hikes this year. What's your view on how that could impact Asian markets moving forward?
Good morning. Okay, let me just start by saying that, you know, our belief, you know, that the rate hike will continue to be very gradual, okay? And we are actually starting from a very low level, okay? So now, what would that do for our Asian market, okay? I think in the short term, right, it will introduce, of course, it will introduce volatility into the market. But if we are looking in the medium to further out, we still hold on to our view that the Asian market is likely to trend higher now. We are saying this because when we look at the global macro picture, the global growth is still there, and then we look down to the corporate level, especially in Asia, earnings are actually being revised upwards, right? And valuation in Asia, there are pockets of overvaluation, but generally speaking, the bigger markets in Asia, the North and all that, the valuation are not that stretched. That is why we remain positive, basically, on the Asian markets.
Funfi, what about Asian economies itself? Which Asian economies do you think would be most impacted by the rising interest rates?
Okay. The first point I want to make is that, as I mentioned earlier, rates are still at a very low level, and that does not really have, I don't think it has any meaningful impact on the economies, you know, especially when it's at such low level. Now, having said that also, it does not necessarily mean that the Asian countries or the central bank here have to increase their rate in lockstep with the Fed. Okay, we do not really see that. Okay, the reason being that we think most central banks, or most in Asia at least, are still pro-growth, and as long as inflation is not an issue, rates will continue to stay low, and this is what we are seeing, you know. Okay, now, but obviously, when rates move up, it may cause some fund flow reallocation, right? So that you may see on the financial market side already. Okay, so higher-yielding markets, like, for example, Taiwan, may see some fund outflows, right? Now, if these rates continue to rise significantly on the U.S. side, let's say, and cause a huge outflow of funds, then perhaps, okay, countries that are in deficit may be forced to increase also to defend their own currencies. Now, but the thing is that in Asia, most countries have very healthy balance sheets, except for maybe, a little weaker, maybe like Indonesia or India. Yeah. So generally, we think that this recent rate increase, and for the next one or two more increase that we know that is going to come, or three that is going to come, we do not think it will have much of an impact on the Asian economy per se.
So let's take a look at China a little bit. Now, China's official Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index for February was at 50.3, which was a 19-month low and came in below expectations. What's your view on this? Is it a blip because of the Chinese New Year holidays, or is there something more to the numbers?
We think it's a combination of both the Chinese New Year holiday that fell around on the 15th to 21st, and also perhaps also driven by weaker manufacturing activity during the winter season, where in China a lot of the capacity was cut, not being enforced, especially those in the heavy and polluting industries such as mining, you know. Yeah. So yes, in a way, it could be a blip. Okay, but having said that, also I also like to say that, you know, one single data point or two does not make a trend, you know.
Yeah.
And so far, PMI still looks good to us. Okay, healthy to us.
Now, how about the Chinese economy? I mean, there's expectations that it will cool in 2018, especially as you mentioned earlier, that the government is cracking down on polluting industries and also high debt levels. So how do you think that, what is your view in terms of the impact of this on this slower growth on the ASEAN growth, particularly countries like Malaysia?
Okay. I mean, China slowing down, impacting on other countries and all that has been talked about for the recent many years already, actually. And we still hold on to the view that the Chinese government has a lot of lever to work on, right? So, yes, there will be a slight growth slowdown, but it is, you know, it will be still very manageable on the Chinese side, you know, 6.5 or thereabouts, okay? Now, let's talk about this, one of the reasons, about this, the crackdown on polluting industry and all that. Yes, we have seen China cracking down on polluting industry such as steel and coal industry in the past one year, okay? And as a result, actually, steel and coal prices have actually trended up, actually, on the back of a lesser supply, okay? So, for some Asian countries, like, for example, in Indonesia, where you have coal and all that, actually, it has led to an improvement in their current account situation and actually contributed to a stronger GDP growth. Even for Malaysia also, you know, our steel industry actually has benefited because of this, less steel imports, you know. Talking about on a wider area, in terms of ASEAN and Malaysian growth, we think basically the region will also, growth will moderate from 2017, similar or in line with the Chinese GDP growth moderation. But having said, we also want to point out that, yes, there will be slight moderation, but growth actually is still at a very healthy level and we believe can be sustained. You know, because what we are seeing now is actually a very synchronized kind of growth around the world.
Now, what do you think are the risks to the Chinese economy at this point of time?
I think the greatest risk actually would be the... on the economic side, as I've spoken on earlier already, I think the Chinese government has a lot of lever to work on, so we are not so concerned on that, right? Now
how about the banking sector? Are the concerns over it overdone?
Let me just touch on one more point. The thing that is nobody can really put a finger on is... what the U.S. does in terms of increasing the tariff and whether the Chinese will retaliate and really do some kind of a trade war, that is something that, you know, is up in the air. We do not know what the outcome will be, right? Now, alluding to your second part, we talk about shadow banking sector, overdone. Okay, actually, shadow banking activity, in our view, has been tightly monitored already. And if you look at the recent credit data, for example, in January, no, it seems to agree with that line that there seems to be a shift from this all this non-bank financing to actually new bank loans. No, if you look, that is actually driving the overall aggregate credit growth. Okay, and we think that this will carry on. And wealth management product. Okay, if you look at the numbers, for example, in 2017 compared to 2016. It has barely grown. So with the Chinese economy actually growing quite healthily, as percentage of the GDP, the wealth management product will have shrunk a little bit already.
I say thank you for your insights, Fan Fai. That was Chen Fan Fai, Head of Investment, Retail and Institutional Business, Asia Pacific at Eastspring Investments Berhad. If you're interested to hear more from Fan Fai, he will be speaking at the Crouching Bears, Charging Bulls event on March 10th, organized by Eastspring Investments. You can find out more information on their website at www.eastspringinvestments.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.